Begin in verse number 11, Luke 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He saith unto them, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound gained 10 pounds. And he saith unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou shalt have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he saith likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. I believe we'll stop there for the moment. So we realize this, that the Lord is talking about, you know, he's given us an earthly picture again that we can look and glean and see what is he saying. He's talking about his kingdom, no doubt, that he is going away. Right now, he's a, by the word of God, right now he's a nobleman. He's a royalty, isn't he? And you know, to look at him, he doesn't look like a king, does he? And he came to be a servant, didn't he? I mean, he said that his own self. He came to be a servant. But he's going away. And when he returns, he's going to be the king, no question. So as we think about this, he gives to each of these 10 a pound. What does he give? So he's going away, but he's going to leave something with them for them to gain, for them to grow. And I believe that what he's giving is that would pertain to his kingdom, that his kingdom would grow. So as we think about that, you know, he says, occupy till I come. But his citizens, and that word occupy till I come, occupy till I come means to busy. I believe you might could even say this, make it your business. Make it your business. So what is he left? And my thinking, I think that he's left the Word of God. As Chloe said earlier, he's left us the Word of God. So as we think about this, there's servants here that have made great advances. What has been given to them has been multiplied. We could look at over in Matthew, and it's multiplied there as well. And you know, it's not how good I am, but it's the faithfulness. And I believe it's applying that this is our business. So as you think about this, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know, I believe that right there may very well be a great key. We know that the Jews did not want him. We know that. But you know, what about me? Do I want him to reign in my life? I would say this, for what he's given me to multiply, he's going to have to reign daily. Would you think with me like that? That for him to rule if he's not ruling and he's not reigning in my life, how can I multiply what he's given me? So as you think about this, and you know, he's going to say that he gave them money. But we know that the Lord Jesus didn't give them money. He didn't have any money to give, did he? But I tell you what he did give. What Peter and John gave. Peter and John said, we don't have any silver or gold, but such as we have, give we unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we have the Word of God. Honestly, we have the gospel. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So as we think about this, you know, we're going to see here, we're going to see a man that his gift was multiplied five times. A man whose gift was multiplied twice. A man who did nothing with a gift. And then we see a group that says, we're not going to have anything to do with him. So as you think about this, this word of God said, he came to the first and he said, Lord, thy pound gained 10 pounds. So it's been multiplied 10 times, the other five times. I'm sorry about that. But this, so as you read this, read it with me. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So what was this? What was this that grew exponentially, grew 1,000%? And as you see this, it wasn't the man, it was what the man was given. You see that? Thy pound has gained. It wasn't the man that did the gaining, it was what the Lord had given unto him. So if we think about Christ being in us, the Word of God, can I cultivate that? Is it possible for me to cultivate the Word of God? I believe that's absolutely necessary. If I'm going to grow that, and look, it's not. I would say this, that it is done. It's not man that's doing it. But it's not done without man. Can you see that? That it's what's inside that is growing. And it's not the man that it's doing the growing. But it's that Word of God planted within you. When you were born again, when you were saved, God planted, you know, Morgan is talking about the Comforter. He moved in. He, the Holy Ghost, moved in, as Chloe was saying, as we read that Word of God, and it looks so like a mystery, the Holy Spirit of God is able to open that Word of God and multiply that. And this that God gave to these servants, he said, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And the Lord said, thou good servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. You know, as we look at it, we might think that it's such a small thing. But I tell you, it's absolutely infinite. How great, how mighty, how could this grow in me? And when it grows in me, I have to grow as well. You see that? So these children, Their organs are growing inside of them, aren't they? But as they're growing on the inside, the outside is growing as well. So as God grows in us, God is blessing us that we are growing as well. And this is not man growing, but it's not done without man either. So it took a faithful servant, but it took that pound that the Lord gave that servant to start with. It took what God gave, and the gift and what is growing is what God gave and imparted to the servant. But it can't grow without the servant. And the other man said, Lord, thy pound, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him, be thou over 5 cities. Do I believe that literally? No, I don't. I don't believe that. But I believe this. I believe that those things that God wants us to be rulers over, you know what He's doing? He's giving us the ability to be overcomers, to overcome our fears, to overcome our doubts, to believe more and more as the Word of God takes precedent in our lives. You know what we can do? We can grow. We can grow in knowledge. Does He not say to grow in wisdom, to grow in knowledge, to grow in grace? So how does that happen? I tell you, it comes through the Word of God. And it's the Word of God working in us. And as we work, as we labor and are faithful to that reigning, we're not going to have this man rule over us. What part does that person have in the kingdom of God? Absolutely none. But if I'm faithful over what God has imparted to me, will God give me more? He's going to. In this parable, He's going to. Do I want more? I'll say this by the parable. If I want more, if I will be faithful of what God has given me, and that begins to grow, God is going to add to that, and add to that, and add to that. But if I'm not faithful in that He has given me, and that Word of God, you know, I believe, I thought about it like this. I thought about it like that leaven, and like that mustard seed. That leaven and that mustard seed that man planted in the field, you know, it became a tree. It took over the field. It took over the garden. It took over the place. That leaven, that little bit of leaven that was put in that 3 measures of meal, it leavened everything that was in there. So if the Word of God is what leavens my life, can I expect God to grow that? I believe He's going to grow that. If I will allow, and I don't mean that the wrong way, but again, it's the pound that's growing. It's not the man that's growing the pound. The pound is growing the man. But it's not growing without the man. You and I have to have a part in this. And our part is to allow God to rule and reign. I'm not saying that He can't reign without me. I'm not saying that He can't reign over me. I'm saying, can we be a willing subject to Him? And if we are, He can grow in us and we can have a greater knowledge, greater grace, greater wisdom. We can grow in wisdom and knowledge. And friend, we can have a greater part in the kingdom of God. You know, you think we've arrived? I know I've not even skimmed the surface of the knowledge of the Word of God, or skimmed the surface of the Spirit and the power of God. But as we grow, God can add to that. So when you think about that leaven, does the Word of God, has it taken over our lives? Has the Word of God leavened everything in the bowl? Let's just say you're the bowl. You're the bowl, okay? You're the bowl with the 3 measures of meal in it. And the 3 measures of meal with the leaven of the Word of God going in, the 3 measures of meal going into me as the bowl, friend, that's going on the inside of me. And you know what it's going to do? Before long, it's going to leaven everything in the bowl. Everything in that 3 measures of meal is going to be fermented. It's going to be imparted. It's going to have something to do with every facet, every kernel, every piece of corn that's been crushed and is in that bowl is going to be affected by the leaven of the Word of God. You might say, well, leaven's a bad thing. Well, it's not a bad thing in that sense. It's not a bad thing to take over a life, is it? It's not a bad thing when the man planted the mustard seed and it was the smallest of all seed, but it took over the garden and it took over the field. That's a good thing, isn't it? Wouldn't it be a good thing that the Word of God leaven our whole lives? So, if we're not going to let Him reign over us, is He ruling and reigning in my life? Is my whole life leavened by that Word of God that He put in? Our lives should be, shouldn't it? It should be leavened. The whole. It really doesn't matter in my thinking. It doesn't matter where you go. From the time you go home to you go to the job to you go to the hospital, you go to visit the family, you go to the grocery store, every bit of that is affected by the Word of God on the inside. No matter, I don't believe there's a place that I could go that the Word of God should not have an impact on my life. Would you? Would you think if I'm saved, if I'm a child of God, is there any off limits? I realize through the years there'd been some places, well, you know, you ain't supposed to go there. You ain't supposed to touch on that. Well, you tell me, where is it God's not allowed in our lives? Where is God not allowed? We better rethink that. So, this Word of God, so as you think about that, I'd like to read a scripture in 2 Corinthians. This is very familiar, I'm sure. Moses has come off of the mountain, and his face is shining, and he talks about how glorious that the gospel is above the law, and that the people's minds, they were blinded. But listen to what he says in the last three or four verses of chapter number 3, 2 Corinthians. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. You know what? This veil, this secret Word of God, when salvation came, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God was opened up. You know, we might have read the Word of God, and we might have knew some stories in it. But to really know the meaning of it, and it really coming to us, it took salvation and the imparting of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Then, when we read the Word of God, it was a new revelation, wasn't it? So, if the heart is turned unto the Lord, nevertheless, when it shall turn, and I believe this is the heart, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken off of their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So what did Moses bring down? Moses brought down bondage. Moses brought down people under a curse. Moses brought down bondage and slavery and guilt. But you know what the Lord Jesus brought? The Lord Jesus brought liberty. And as you think about this, listen to the last verse. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So as we look into this perfect liberty, the law, there was no liberty there. But as we look into what Jesus is saying in this parable, what He has given unto them, you know what it's going to do? It's going to change the man. It's going to change the woman. As we look into the Word of God and we look and we behold as in the face the glory of the Lord, change from glory to glory. I tell you folks, we ought to be becoming more and more like Him every day. As I look in it, He gives me a picture of what I need to look like. Doesn't He? Doesn't He give us a picture of what I'm supposed to look like? You know, I see these ladies, and I'm sure especially you mothers have seen, if you've got daughters, you know, they got a magazine. And they've got all of these girls in there with these haircuts. Mom, I want my hair cut like this. I want my hair. What are they doing? They're seeing a picture and they want to look like that. So Jesus is giving us a picture here in 2 Corinthians. When we're brought under the liberty of the gospel, thank God, we're brought to liberty. We're brought to freedom. We're out from under bondage, out from under sin, out from under guilt. And you know what we are? I thank God we're free today to be likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Changed from glory to glory as we look into this wonderful law, this liberty that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the gospel. We can become like what we see in the mirror. I'm not talking about seeing me in the mirror. I'm talking about seeing Him in the Word of God. So just another minute or two. Back to Luke 19. The other said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, which I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest where thou didst not sow. Does this man know the Lord? I feared thee, Lord. You're a hard man. You're a sour man. You're a man that picks up, somebody drops something, and you pick it up and put it in your pocket. He doesn't know the Lord that I know. I'm talking about a Lord that is a servant unto all. I'm talking about a Lord that is a faithful high priest. I'm talking about a Lord who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. This man has got a fear, but this man does not have a love. There's a difference in fear of God and love for God. Am I growing? Now just think with me. Am I here tonight because of a love for God or a fear of God? So what's this man done with what God has given him? Absolutely nothing. As far as from the Lord's perspective, he would have been better off to giving it to someone else, wouldn't he? Because this period of time has gone by, and this man has taken what the Lord's given him and has wrapped it up in a napkin and kept it. I feared thee. But you know, the Lord doesn't want us. And I don't want to say this the wrong way. I believe he wants us to reverence him. But listen to this man's description. For I feared thee because thou art an austere man, cruel, sour, hard, harsh. Thou takest up that thou layest not down and reapest where thou didst not sow. So he's taken up that. He's unfair. He's unjust. He's a God who expects and demands more than I'm able to give. Does he know this Lord? He doesn't know this Lord. I tell you, God wants us to love Him and serve Him because we love Him, not because we're afraid He's going to destroy us. And you know something? Look at these other men. And you can look in chapter number 25 of Matthew. Any one of them that took what God gave them and was faithful gained with it. Some of them gained more than others. Some gained less than others. But you know, the Lord was the same faithful, loving servant, blessing what they had done. He doesn't ridicule the man that gained 2 talents. Or the man that gained 5, or praise over and above because the man gained 10. But everything that they did in faithfulness was gain. But here is a man that doesn't do that way. Here is a man that fears and cause the Lord an austere man, a hard man, to please, a man who is, we're just unable to please Him. I don't find the Lord to be that way. I don't find the Lord to be that way, that He's so hard that I can't please Him. I've never found Him to be that way. But I want you to think along this line. In the book of Luke, you remember when that sinner woman went down to Simon's house? Simon the Pharisee invited the Lord down for dinner. He went down to eat and that sinner woman was there. And the sinner woman is pouring the oil on Him, wiping his feet with her hair and with her tears. You know what the Lord says about her? Simon, the reason she's doing this is because she loves Me. Now here's a man. This man that says, Lord, behold, here's thy pound which I have kept in a napkin, for I feared thee. He doesn't really know Him, does he? So there's been an opportunity given, but there's been no growth. There's been no raining of that Word of God, that first pound. Well, I believe the first thing. Well, I believe that I'm lost. Well, I believe that I need a Savior. Well, I believe that I've sinned against God. You know, if I can't take that and believe that, how can I grow in wisdom and knowledge and grace? How can I grow in the Spirit and the power of God? If this God that I'm thinking about is still a God that I fear and not a God that I love, if this is a God that what God gives me, I'm going to keep it wrapped up. I'm going to keep it hid. I'm going to make sure nobody gets it. I'm going to make sure nobody ever sees where it's at. Is that what God wants out of us? Has God given us a gift of salvation? Given us a gift of His Word? Has He given us something, ladies and gentlemen, and we really are saved, but we're going to keep it hid all of our lives? I don't believe we can find that. You see, this man doesn't know the Lord. Listen again. I feared thee, thou art an austere man. Thou takest up where thou laidest not down, reaping where you did not sow. And he said this, out of thine own mouth. Do you know the Lord? What kind of a Lord is He? Really now, do you know Him? If you know Him, what kind of a Lord is He? Does He expect anything? Does He expect us to grow? Does he expect what He's invested in us? And really, in my thinking, if you're saved, what He put in you was Himself. He put His Word, that Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, that Word that ascended back to heaven and He sent back the Holy Spirit. He came to dwell with us. And ladies and gentlemen, if I know Him, and I know Him in the free pardon of sin, if I know Him and He saved my soul, you know what I know? I know that I love Him because He loved me first and He forgave me. But here's a man that doesn't know Him. Here's a man that's fearful of Him. And here's a man that accuses Him of being a hard man. Now listen, if you know Him, if you say you know Him tonight, know this, you're going to be judged by what you know, okay? Out of thy own mouth will I judge thee. Listen to what he says. Thou knewest that I was an austere man? I believe really that's a question. You knew. You knew that I was an austere man. You knew that I was a hard man. You knew that I took up where I didn't lay down. I reaped where I didn't sow. Wherefore, why didn't you then? If you knew all of that, what kind of a God is He tonight? Is He a God that demands something out of you?
Is he a God that would like to have your love? Is he a God that's going to require one day? Is he a God that's keeping account? Well, I say this, either way that he is, if you're saved tonight and he's a God that you love, then he'd like to see that. And if he's a God that you fear tonight, then we better be fearful of him. If he's a God, and if you know that, you know he's a hard God, and you know that he takes up where he didn't sow, and you know he reaps where he didn't sow, and friend, you know that about him, what are we doing about that? What change has it made?
How do you know him tonight? Are you fearful of him? Or do you have a loving relationship with him? You're going to have one of those. You've got to have one of those. Either you fear him tonight, or you have a loving relationship with him. And those that had that loving relationship with him, you know what he did with them? That pound that he gave them, not without them, but with them, that pound grew. And that pound is growing more and more. They're loving him more and more. They're expressing their love. They're growing in wisdom and knowledge and the grace of God. They're growing. You know what's going on? The kingdom of God's growing in them. What about this man? He got a pound. He got a pound. He said, Lord, I took the pound you gave me and I hid it. I hid it in a napkin so, you know, nothing had happened to it. Because I knew you was a hard man to please. You're a man that just, you just can't, you ask for more. You ask for more than what you ought to. Does he? Does God ever ask more out of you than he ought to? That's what this man's saying. Lord, you're not fair. You know who says that? A lost person. You're not fair. Lord, you're asking more out of me than I'm able to give. No, ma'am, and no, sir. I tell you what, you talk about merciful and long-suffering. He has been. He has been. So loving, so merciful, so kind, so long-suffering, so easy and treated. How wonderful, how loving a Savior that we've got. And you know what? I ought to love Him more and more and more and more. And I ought to be faithful after that He's given me, that He might help me to grow in grace and knowledge and wisdom, that the kingdom of God might grow and people might be able to see the kingdom of God. You're a hard man. Lord, you care not. Lord, you're just asking for too much. Wherefore? Wherefore then, if you believe that, if you're fearful of God, then what action has that brought? So if we say we're saved, then that hasn't brought any action. That's not brought, I mean, we're like Simon. Simon's there and he don't give the Lord a kiss. He don't wash his feet. He's questioning whether this is really a man of God, because if he knew what kind of woman that was, and the woman is washing Jesus' feet with the tears. So I ask you tonight, if you love him, then there should be a display of that, shouldn't there? And if we fear him, then what are we doing about that? If he's given us the Word of God, what have we done with that? Has it changed our life? Has it changed our walk? Why didn't you give what I gave you to the bank, that I might have my mine at coming have required mine own with a little interest, with usury? And he said unto them that stood by. Now you might not think this is going to happen. Take from him that pound. take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. What do they think? Lord, he's already got 10 pounds. Why are you giving it to him? I tell you why he's going to give it to him. Because he's going to use it and he's going to multiply it and he's going to glorify God with it. So with what God's given unto you, is God getting any glory? Is God getting glory out of our lives? You know, think about that. Take the pound that you've given him. Take that I've given him and give it to the man that's got 10. I think about a scripture in Romans chapter number 1. Very familiar. But listen to these words. Romans chapter number 1. The Bible said this. Now this man says he knows the Lord, doesn't he? Lord, I know you. You're a hard man. You're a harsh man. You're a cruel man. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies. What's God doing? I tell you what God's doing. He's taking what he gave them. He's going to give it to somebody else. What a fearful thing. To think that God would take the only means of salvation that there is, take that away. Why? Because I'm not going to glorify him as God when I know he's God. Isn't that what this fella's doing over here?
Right.
This fella that's got a pound, and he knew where it come from, and he said that he knew, and he really feared God. There's no evidence of it though, is there? So what's going to happen? He's going to lose the only means of salvation there is. He's going to lose that. And he said to them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10. And they said, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one that hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken from him. And done what with? Given to somebody that's going to make gain of it. Somebody that's going to give glory to God. Somebody that's going to love him. Somebody that's going to honor him. Somebody that's going to fear him. Somebody that's going to love him. You might think, well, that's not going to happen here. Well, I tell you what. I don't know how long I've got, and you don't know how long you've got. But I tell you what we've got. We've got a little stretch of time, and the Lord's coming. Whether it's the Lord's comes for all of us or I die, he's coming. And you know, this little period of time that I've got right here, that's the only time I've got. And when he comes, ladies and gentlemen, when he comes, what's going to happen? If I've not made use out of this little window of opportunity that I have, you know, I think about the Holy Ghost coming. The Holy Ghost comes. Now, if the Holy Ghost leaves, is there any hope for me to be saved? If the Holy Spirit leaves me, if the Holy Spirit is moved from me and moved on to someone else that will do something with the Word of God, is there any hope for me to be saved? There's not. Take that from him. I'm going to take that. He said, I'm going to take that he be given. I'm going to take that even that he hath shall be taken away, given to somebody. What are these people doing? They're using the pound that the Lord left with them. One more verse. But mine enemies, there is a group. You see, it's always this way.
Yeah.
There's a group that says, I'm not having anything to do with him. He's not ruling over me. But there's a man of these three right here. He's not ruling over him either, is he? He's in the group. He's in the crowd. He's in the mix. I mean, we've got people that's not going to have anything to do with God, with Jesus, with the church. And we've got a group that are pretenders. They're going to be just as bad off, aren't they? You might look at that man and you say, well, he's still got a chance. If he takes his spirit and he takes his word away, there's no chance. We'll be just as well off as to be the Lord's enemy, because we are in the same shape. Those my enemies that would not I should reign over them, bring hither and slay before me. Could there be any difference between that man and the man that made no gain with what God left him? It's going to be the same end result. You might disagree, but I believe it's going to be the same end result. If you're saved, is there evidence? Surely, 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 if the Lord Jesus lives in your heart, there's evidence. I don't want to serve Him because of fear of how terrible a God He is. I want to serve Him because I know how good, how loving, how merciful, how forgiving He has been to me.